Parsha Shlach begins with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructing Moshe Rabbeinu that he should send representatives to Eretz Yisrael, Yosuras, Eretz Kenan. And he picked the biggest tzaddikim. What does it mean, the Yosuru? It doesn't say Meraglim. It's the Chet HaMeraglim. So Rav Soloveitchik has a drasha. There used to be a Rabbi Abe Bezdin, was the younger brother of Rabbi Moshe Bezdin. Rabbi Moshe Bezdin was the founding dean of JSS division in the yeshiva. So Rabbi Abe Bezdin put out two volumes of drushes of Rav Soloveitchik, very easily presented. An intelligent high school student can understand everything that it says there. So Rav Soloveitchik gave a drusha on this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intention was not that they should be spies, but rather they should be Asuru Eretz Kenan. What does it mean, the Asuru? Not Leragel Asaretz. Yosef accuses the brothers, Meraglim Atem, your spies, to find Erva Asaretz. Over here, Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Tanakh describes the relationship between the Jewish people and Eretz Yisrael as one of a marriage, as if it's a husband and a wife. Rashi on the Gilas Secha quotes from the Chazal, Ki Almano, like a woman waiting for her husband to come back. So Eretz Yisrael was waiting for 2,000 years for the Jewish people to come back. And she was faithful to the Jewish people. Any other nation that came there, the Pasuk says in the Techechem, B'chukoyse, B'shamamu Aleho Aivechem, our enemies wanted to take over Eretz Yisrael. Nobody was successful. Throughout all the years, no other nation was successful in doing anything there. And when Gush Katif was in the hands of the Arabs, nothing didn't blossom, it didn't grow. It was in the Jewish control, it was blossoming, and now it's back in the hands of the Arabs. Everything is in a state of destruction, nothing is blossoming. So you have in Tanakh, in different places, the relationship between Bnei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael is like one of a marriage. and Rav Soloveitchik quoted the Gemara, Osalodim, if you're going to marry a girl, you have to see her first. You have to date her first to make sure that that you like her. So the Rabbanu Shalom asked Moshe Rabbeinu to send Anoshim Tzadikim to represent the Shvatim. What do you need so many? What do you need 12? To represent each one of the Shvatim, this is Asa L'Kadosh HaSoisha Ad She'iren HaTchila. And they misunderstood the Shlichas. They thought that they're supposed to be spies to figure out which is the best way to win the war against the Lamed Aleph Malachim who lived there at that time. It's a very beautiful drasha. When the Meraglim come back, so Yeshua and Kola gave a favorable report, and the others said, Lo nuchal alos kechozaku mimenu. Kechozaku mimenu, Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Soita, Perikel and Amorim. The Gemara has a lot of agadata about the Meraglim. So the Gemara says, when they said Mimenu, they didn't mean Menu, the Lamed Aleph Malachim are stronger than us. They mean Mimenu from him. Klapi Milo Omru. They meant that the Lamed Aleph Malachim are stronger than the Rabbanu Shalom. So the Gemara says that the Meraglim, the 10 Meraglim, were really apikursim. They thought the Rabbanu Shalom doesn't have full power over, full control over the world. That the Zion Anamim and Alam and Aleph Malachim, who had palaces in Eretz Yisrael, they're stronger than the Rabbanu Shel Olam. So Moshe Feinstein has an interesting tshuva. The Gemara learns out, V'nikdash tebisoch b'nei Yisrael, that sometimes is a din of the Yehorek Bal Yavar. And the Dabash Bigdusha, we also learn out from the Pasuk, you need Asura. Sometimes Yehorek Bal Yavar only applies b'far hesya, b'fnei asorim Yisrael. And this is learned out from the phrase, v'nikdash tibisoch b'nei Yisrael. The term besoch has a connotation based on Gzeir Shavah, has a connotation of asora. Really, Rav Soloveitchik has in one of his essays, one of his Hebrew mamorim, really, Kiddush Hashem should really be b'fnei all of Klal Yisrael. But whenever you have 10 Jews, called the Asura, Shchin Toshaya, so the 10 people represent all of Klal Yisrael. So we assume the same is true to recite the Dabash Bigdusha, Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu, you need a minion, you need Asura, that's the Mishnah Megillah. Mishnah Megillah lists off various things where you need a minion. So some of them you need a minion because Dabash Bigdusha, others are not because Dabash Bigdusha. Duchening, we don't assume duchening is a dovish b'kedusha, a different reason. And the bench b'asara also, most assume it's not really a dovish b'kedusha. Even though you say baruch halakenu shachalnu mishaloi, it's a different reason why you need asara. The Gemara says, la rachara la kurish mod dishmaya, v'botza me'asara, but it's not really a dovish b'kedusha. So when you do need a din, a dovish b'kedusha needs asara, is that really a din d'araisa, or is that a din d'rabbanan? Moshe Feinstein, one of his chuvas assumed that it's only a din midrabbanan, that the pasuk v'nigdash to b'soch v'neisot toch has the connotation of asara, that's only been get to yaharg v'yavar. So there, talking the asara nashim gedolim, 10 Jewish people who are passed by mitzvah, no one would say that you came in mitzvah for cotton to the asara to say yaharg v'yavar. When you get to the din of a davish b'kedusha, they say Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu. So there, the practice used to be for many centuries that they relied on that opinion in Tosfos, that you can be mitzaref one cotton. There was even one opinion in the Rishonim, you can be mitzaref one woman to a minion. That's not even mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. Mishnah Brura mentions it, that there was such an opinion. It wasn't even quoted. Shulchan Aruch only quotes the opinion that one cotton is mitzaref. So Ramesh assumes that the reason why there's room to be make of one cotton, because the whole requirement for a minyan for Dovish B'Kedusha perhaps is only a dim in the Rabbanon. That's why we're a little bit lenient. But there's a Chuvas HaRambam that's quoted by the Nesi Kelim on Shulchan Aruch. The Behetiv quotes it. The Chuvas HaRambam writes that one who's an apikoris is Dina Ka'akum and Shchitos HaNevela. And therefore, since Dina Ka'akam, so it means he doesn't have a full Kedushas Yisrael, so he cannot be mitzaref him to a minyan. You have to have Davke Asara Anoshim. You have to have 10 Jewish people who are fully Jewish. So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about this. He didn't remember. The tshuva is Rambam. The Behetel quotes it, I think. So Moshe has a tshuva. He writes that the whole din that you need on Moshe La'eda Harua Hazos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about the Meraglim, two of the Meraglim gave a favorable report. To the 10 who didn't give a favorable, the 10 who gave a false report, Gechazakum Imenu, they were apikursim. And the Pasuk says, on Moshe La'eda Harua Hazos, they were called an Eda. And the word Eda has the same connotation as the word Toch. And that's how we established that you need 10 people for a minion from the 10 Meraglim. So Moshe says, you see that apikusim am mitzarfim to a minyan. It's the pashtus we assume, like the Rambam, that apikoris dina ka'akum, some say apikoris dina ka'akum, that itself is also midirabbana. Okay, it could be that it's only midirabbana. But it could be the whole dina dovish b'kedusha that you need asara is only midirabbana. Okay. So that's a question in Rishonim. Let's say, Oibed Abuzar Dina Ka'akum, says Shchitos HaNeveila. Is that really a din d'araisa? That Apikor is Dina Ka'akum, and a Mumma, the Rav Dina HaTeira, a person who violates the 51% of the mitzvahs that he is familiar with. A person violates Dinim, he doesn't know them. That's Beshegig, that's not called a Mummer. But if a person violates Rav Dina HaTeira that he's aware of, that's also Mumma Dina Ka'akum. The Gemara singles that. We learned in Chulan Daf Hei. The Gemara singles out one who oibed abedizar dina kakam, even though he's only mumala davarechem, mechal shabbos beferhesia is dina kakam, even though it's only mumala davarechod. But if he's a mumala rabbi dina hatar, the pashtus, and that's also dina kakam. So that's a big machloikas. The Chidua has a commentary on Anyankif. There's two commentaries on Anyankif. So on Dafei, he quotes from Kisve Yad from the Bali Atesis that this is machloikas in the days of the Bali Atesis, where the mumala dina kakam is a real din d'araisa or a din d'rabbanan. If it's a din d'rabbanan, we usually we say, called a tikkun rabbanan, kein d'araisa tikkun. So what can it possibly be based on? What's the din d'araisa? So there is a din d'araisa, the pashtus says, everybody would agree. A mumer is not part of klal Yisrael. They're two different concepts. One is, who has kedushas Yisrael? Another one is, who's a member of klal Yisrael? So the Rambam lists off in the Hakdamot, in the Pirush HaMishnayos, the Perek Chelek, so the Rambam lists off the 13 Ikori HaAmuna. He says, whoever doesn't believe in any one of these Ikori HaAmuna is not part of Klal Yisrael. That's a Mumah Dina Ka'akum. That's probably Minat Torah. And then you say, Mumah Dina Ka'akum, he doesn't have a full Kedushas Yisrael. So that's a Machlokes HaRishon, whether that's the Raisa the Rabbana. That's you say, Shchitos HaNeveila, and so on. But Momadina Ka'akum, that is not part of Klal Yisrael, probably everybody would agree to that. So that's, I think it's usually assumed like the Rambam's tshuva, that a mumer is not, an apikoris dina kakum is not mitzarv to a minyan. We don't say because we learned it out from a raglim, and therefore we learn out that it's 10. Toich, edo. The word toich and the word edo have the connotation of 10. That's how we established the din, that din in the first is needed Sanhedrin of 23. Because the pasuk says in Parshas Masei, v'shoftu ho'edo v'hitzilu ho'edo. And Eda has the connotation of 10 people. So v'shoftu ho'edo means you have to have the theoretical possibility of 10 dayanim saying that is chayiv misa, v'shoftu. V'hitzilu ho'edo, you have to have the theoretical possibility of 10 dayanim saying that is potter from misa. So that's 20. But if you're going to have 10 against 10, so it's going to be a stalemate. So you have to have en bezen shokel. You can't have a bezen with an even number of dayanim. Maybe a split vote, and you won't be able to be machriya. So you have to have 21, you have to have 21 dayanim. But if the one extra dayan is going to be 11 to 10, and 11 are going to say that is chayiv misa, so we learn out from the pasuk, in order to give an oynash misa, you have to have at least a roiv of shnayim. A roiv of echad is not enough. The siach rabin leroyes is a pasuk in Mishpatim, and the first mishnah in Sanhedrin makes this whole calculation. How you arrive at the conclusion that a Sanhedrin of 23 is needed. The din in the fashion's purpose is b'shofta ho'edo means you have to have the theoretical possibility of 10 dayanim saying chayv misa, hitzilu ho'edo, the theoretical possibility of 10 saying potter. Then you have to have en bezen shokel, you have to have 21 dayanim. And if the one is going to say chayiv, so if it's 11 to 10, you can't give misa based on the roiv of echod, you need a roiv of shnayim, so you need 22. But you have a klal en bezen shokel, you have to have 23. That's the whole mokum. That's the whole makkah. Yeah, so the Gemara bases it on the fact that the word Eido and Toch have the connotation of 10 people, yeah. But why did they learn out from the Meraglim? They couldn't learn out from a different pasuk. If the Meraglim, the way the Rambam holds that the Anapikoris is not mitzarv to a minyan, so why did they learn out from the Meraglim? You're just learning out that you need 10 people, but not learning out the Meraglim will not be mitzarv to a minyan. So why learn out from the Meraglim? So there's a suggestion was made that perhaps when you have a davish b'kedusha, you need 10 Yisraelim, kol be'asara, shchinta sharia, when you have 10 Jews who are davening. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say, you have 10 Jews reading the Morgen Journal, reading the New York Times, so that's not going to be a hashuas hashchina. You have 10 Jews who want to say, who want to daven. They want to say kedusha, they want to say baruch hu, so then the shchina will be there. 10 Jews learning Torah, so then Shechita Sharia. So why learn out from the Meraglim if they themselves couldn't be mitzarf into a minyan? So the suggestion was made as follows. When you have 10, they represent really all of Klal Yisrael. The Nikdash to Besoch B'nei Yisrael really requires a double Shabbat Kedush, needs the whole Klal Yisrael, but 10 Jews represent the whole of Klal Yisrael. So there is a concept, we spoke about it on many occasions, that the mitzaref of Eretz Yisrael, the mitzaref of the Jewish people, is Eretz Yisrael. Every nation needs a national homeland. So Eretz Yisrael is the national homeland of the Jewish people. That's the mitzaref. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that the din of Kol Yisrael arev mzeh bzeh, that if someone does an avera and I yesh biyodei limchos and I'm moicha, that I'm held responsible, only began after Mishor Yisrael as Hayarden, in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, and they accepted the brachas of Klolus and Hagrizim and Harevel. So then the din of Kol Yisrael Arev Mezeh Bezeh began. Means that that was the mitzaref of Klal Yisrael. Before that, there was no din of Orvus. So that at the time, right after Yitzias Mitzrayim, the only 10 people who had ever visited Eretz had a Sheikh Starisov with the Meraglim. Maybe that's why the Gemara wants to learn out. Why learn out from the Meraglim if they themselves are apikusim kechazukum imenu and they themselves cannot be mitzarv to a minyan? Learn out from Yosef and the brothers. The other Mokar and Yerushalmi learn out from Yosef and the brothers that you need a 10. Because the 10 brothers are also called a minyan in Chumash Bereishis. So maybe the reason why they learned that from him, because the Meraglim from the whole Kol Yisrael, the Meraglim were the only ones who had ever even stepped foot in Eretz Yisrael. So that's the fact that they have a sheiches there, it's as well. That is the mitzaref. So for a minyan, you need a tziruf. Yeah, after the Chet HaMeraglim, so the Samuel ben Esau decided that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he's going to have them stay in the Midbar for 40 years. Yom LaShana, Yom LaShana. So the Pasuk says that the next morning, a group of people decided they say they're doing tshuva. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam told them they should go to Eretz Yisrael. They're going. Moshe Rabbeinu tells them you shouldn't go. So the Ma'apilim went and then they were killed. They were all of Ma'apilim alos ahar. They all lost their lives. So the Mefarshim discussed how come the tshuva was not accepted if they said we're doing tshuva. They admitted that they sinned and they did wrong. So why wasn't the tshuva accepted? So I think they say in the name of the Baal Shem Tov that he gave a mashal, the Mahadavah Daimah, that two people were friendly and they once had a fight and they weren't talking to each other for the longest time. So a third person wanted to make peace between the two of them. So he went over to the first one and he said, really, your friend is so embarrassed that he made a machlag. He knows that he's wrong, but he's embarrassed to admit that he did wrong. If you would approach him and you would make believe, you will initiate the conversation, you will admit that you did wrong. He knows that he did wrong. If you will say that you did wrong, he certainly will forgive you. And that'll be the end of the whole machlagas. And he went over to the other one and he said the same thing, that your friend realizes that he did wrong. And he's embarrassed to admit that he did wrong. If you'll go over, so he hoped that one of them would go. So one of the two approaches, one of them listened to him, one of the two approaches the other friend. And he says, I really hold that I didn't know anything wrong. But Yankel says that I did wrong. So since Yankel said that I did wrong, so I apologize, that he says that I did wrong, so I apologize to you. So the other guy got angry. What do you mean Yankel said that you did wrong? You should realize on your own that you did wrong. That's not called a vidui. If a person doesn't admit that he did wrong, he says, Ki Omar Hashem ki chatonu. That's how the Baal Shem Tov suggested Taich in the Pasuk. And then of Yalinu Elamokam Omar Hashem ki chatonu. So the simple pshat, Elamokam Omar Hashem kama ki chatonu. We admit that we did wrong. They said vidui. So the Baal Shem Tov suggested maybe the way to read it is, Ashamar Hashem kichatanu. We don't think that we did anything wrong, because kichazakum imenu, it's going to be dangerous. But lafishi taschem, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, you think that we did wrong, so we apologize. So that's not called an apology. Before you can begin to say vidu, you have to have hakaras hachet. Hakaras hachet is not so easy. Soloveitchik used to say over, he used to give a drosha every year for many, many years for the Rabbinical Council of America and Aseres HaMei Tshuva. He used to be called the Kinos Tshuva. At that time, he was the only one. And then after he was already too old, it was too difficult. So he discontinued. So then many, many Rabbanim in the New York area started giving drushas in Aseres HaMei Tshuva in Europe. That was a common practice. You have all the printed drushas from the Nodi Behuda, from other Gedolim, Rabbi Yosef Engel, other Gedolim, they all printed rushes that they gave on Zayin Oder, on Moshe Rabbeinu's yard site, and on, of course, Aseres HaMei Tshuva and all the Yom Tovim. Aseres HaMei Tshuva was a major season in the year for drushes. So Rav Soloveitchik used to give the Kinos Tshuva. So the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur says, "Ana Hashem chatosi avisi pashaiti. Ana Hashem kapon da lachatayim v'lapshayim v'labonu shel chatosi v'shavisi v'shabashaiti l'fanecha," etc. So "ana" means please. So how do you translate "Ana Hashem chatosi avisi pashaiti l'fanecha"? He didn't ask for anything. "Ana Hashem kapon da lachatayim v'lapshayim," I say, please forgive me for the averes that I did. Please forgive me. Ani Ubeisi b'nei Aaron Am Kadoshecha. Forgive me and all the Kohanim. Then the third time he says Vidui. Kohen Gadol says Vidui three times on Yom Kippur. The third time he says Vidui. He asks her for forgiveness for all of Klal Yisrael. So it makes sense that he says Ana Hashem Kapan Alachatayim. Please forgive the Averis. But the first sentence that he says each time, Ana Hashem Chatosi Avisi Pashaita Lofanecha, please, Hashem, I admit that I have sinned. What do you mean, please? He didn't ask for anything. Please is when you ask him for a favor. So Rav Soloveitchik said that Darshanim in Europe used to interpret, on Hashem Chatosi, please give me the ability to admit that I made a mistake. Not so easy. Most people are always the heroes of all of the stories that they tell. And they never did anything wrong. They always did everything right. So you have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on Hashem, please give me the koyach, the koyachas hanefesh, the wherewithal to admit that I made a mistake. And the Gemara says, there's a discussion in Tanaim, and we accept the halacha, the last parak in Yuma, that Avonis upshoim, the averes that a person said vidui for on Yom Kippur, and even if he didn't repeat the averes in the course of the year, he never repeated the averes, still, when it comes next to Yom Kippur, he should be chozer misvada alein, he should say vidui again. So the question is, why? He already said vidui last year, and he didn't repeat the averes. Why should he bring up the old issues if they were all forgiven last year? So the Mashgiach always, Rabbi Lesson, was the Mashgiach in Yeshiva when I was a Talmud, Mashgiach every year would say this over, that before you recite Vidui, you have to have Hakoras Achet. So a person realizes that it wasn't right, they did an Averis, so he does Tshuva. But then in the course of the year, he gets a little closer, he gets more observant, more learned, more observant, he davens better, then he's going to realize that this verity of the Avera was much greater than he thought last year. When he becomes closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he realizes, how can he have done such an Avera? So there's a bigger HaKadosh Achet next year. So there's a bigger HaKadosh Achet, so he needs another Vida. Then another year, if he'll remain a Baal Tshuva another year, even though he didn't repeat that Avera, he'll even have a deeper HaKadosh Achet. Every year that he remains a Baal Tshuva, so the Hakar Sachet will get deeper and stronger. So the Hakar Sachet will require of him that he should recite Vidui each year another time. The Torah tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu sent the Meraglim in the beginning of the Parsha, Vayikra Moshe L'Asher Ben Nun Yehoshua, he changed the name of Yehoshua Ben Nun. Why did he do that? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Saita, from that Agarta in Perik Elu Namorim. So it says he changed his name as a tefillah. He was mispalled to him, Ko Yoshiacha Me'atzas HaMeraglim. The Rebbeinu Shalom should protect you. You shouldn't go along with the Meraglim. There's a comment in the Targum that's called Targum Yonis Ben Ezio. All the commentaries say it's not really Yonis Ben Ezio. The Gemara says he only wrote Targum on Novi. He didn't write on Ksuvim. And he didn't write on Chumash. On Chumash we have Unkelis, but it's Targum Yerushalmi. It's Tav Yud, Targum Yerushalmi. And they're Mufanech, the Rosh Yitevis, incorrectly, so they thought Tav Yud is Targum Yonison. Sometimes you have both. You have Targum Yonison and Targum Yerushalmi. So there are two versions of the Targum Yerushalmi. But it's not really by Yonison Ben Ezeel, whoever, whatever. So there are a lot of issues. Every so often there's a wild Targum Yonison Ben Ezeel, as something that the Tzdukim would say, or the Karoim would say. It's a strange, a lot of strange things. So it's problematic. So on this pasuk, Vayikra Moshe L'Asher Ben Nun Yehoshua, he adds a few words. He says, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw the humility, the deep degree of humility of Yehoshua Ben Nun, that's why he gave him the name Yehoshua Ko Yoshiacha Mi'atzas Meraglim. What does it have to do with humility? So the Darshanim used to say pshat. It's printed in different Svarim. Sometimes a person is so extremely humble, he doesn't want to make waves. So if he's with a group of people and they're going to do something improper, he'll go along. He won't want to fight with them. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw that Yehoshua Ben Nun was extremely humble. He was afraid he may be humble to such an extent that if the Meraglim will want to give a bad report, he'll go along. He's so humble, he won't want to fight with them. So he was mispalo, kol yoshiacha, mi'atzas ha-meraglu. In the Pilpul Svarim, they have a whole discussion, why was his name Hoshea Bin Nun? Why not Ben Nun? Everybody else's name was Ben Nun. So they say a whole pshetel why, that Medrash says, when Sori Imena's name was changed from Sarai to Sarah, so the Medrash says that Yud came to the Rebbeinu Shalom to complain. I used to be a big shot. I used to be in the name of Sarai. And then you change the name to Sarah, so I'm nothing anymore. So the Rebbeinu Shalom appeased the letter Yud by putting the letter Yud in the beginning of the name of Yehoshua. But now the letter Yud, okay, that's where the Yud came from. But the letter Yud has a Shva under it. So where did the two Nekudas come from? So the answer, his name used to be Hoshea Ben Nun, with a Segel, with three Nekudas. And then when you changed it to Yehoshua, so the Yud came from Sarai, and the Shva under it came from the two Nekudas under the word Ben, so that's why it's left Bin. Abshetl. I don't think this is Halach L'Moshe Mesinai, that you have two dots for a Shva and three dots for a Segel. These are the Simanim that we have. It's not in the Sefer Torah. You don't have any of these dots. But that's Yiddish folklore, as they call it. Okay. Then the Torah has the institution of Minchas Nesochim. When you bring an Oila or a Shlamim, you always have to bring in conjunction with it Minchas Meniskein Kemeduba. You have to bring flour mixed with oil, and then you have to have Yayin Lanesach also. So usually when you bring a mincha, you do kmitza on the mincha, you burn the kaimetz, and the shiori ha-mincha, the shirai ma-necholim, the zichri kuhuna, because the mincha is a kotchi kotchim, so the shiori ha-mincha nechol to zichri kuhuna in the azor yom v'laylo ad chatzos. So here, there's no kmitza, this is minchas nesochim. It's not a mincha bo bifnei atzman, this is a mincha that comes in conjunction with the korban. So it's a different kind of a mincha. So the whole thing is burnt on the mizbech. Even though we have a din of mincha b'koyin, mincha's koyin is kolol toktor. You burn the whole thing. You don't do kmitz and just burn the kaimis. But here it's not from kohanim. There is a mincha tzibur that you do mincha sa'omer on the first day chal moed Pesach. You bring mincha sa'omer and you do kmitz and you burn the kaimis on the mizbech and the rest of the mincha is nechal the zichri kuhuna yom v'laylo al chatzois. So the Gemara, the Mishnah in Shkolim has that in the days of the Beis Hamikdash, some of the Kohanim Hayadosh and Mikra Zeli Atzmam, they made up their own dinim. Like in every generation, the Balabata make up their own din. So the Kohanim made up their own din. They're not allowed to give money to the Machzor Shek. When it comes to giving money, so everybody has their own pshat. Why? I'm entitled to the money. So they made up their own din. Kohanim don't have to participate in Machzor Shekel because if they're going to give money towards Machzor Shekel, what's going to be on Chol HaMoed Pesach? You're going to bring Mincha Sa'omer, you're going to do Kmitza, burn the Kaimetz, and the rest is going to be Nechal. So if we are Shutvim in the Korban Tzibur, if we have to participate by giving Machzor Shekel money, so it's a Minchas Kayin. Minchas Kayin is Kolol Toktor. So obviously, you see from the Chumash, we're not allowed to give. We're not permitted to give money towards Machzor Shekel. So the din is that it's not correct. The Gemara says, not. The Kohanim Hayadosh and Mikra Zeli Atzmon, they made up their own drasha, and they said, "Kol Kohen Hashekel Choytei, any Kohen who gives Machzor Shekel is sinning." So the Tanaim said, "It's wrong. Kol Kohen She'ein Hashekel Choytei. If the Kohen doesn't give Machzor Shekel, then he's sinning. Kohanim Amachu, if they give Machzor Shekel, what about the argument? Is a Minchas Kohen Kol Al Tia? You're not allowed to do kmitz and just burn the kmitz and have the rest eaten." So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say over from the Darshanim in Europe. Also on Aseres Meitshuva, he would talk about this. But all year long also he would talk about this, that Tzibur is not the same as Shutvim. Shutvim, you have a group of people, and altogether they're Shutvim. Tzibur is a new Chal Hashem Bailam. It's not that it's Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. It's a new thing. So a Minchas HaOmer that's brought on Chol HaMoed Pesach, that's paid for Machzor Shekel money, is not considered a korban mincha b'shutfis with kohanim levim and Yisraelim participate. Klal Yisrael paid for it. Klal Yisrael is not kohanim and they're not levim. Klal Yisrael is Klal Yisrael. It's a different concept. Anyway, so that's the institution of minchasim and iskeim by oilo and by shlamim. And this din only began after they came to Eretz Yisrael. In the midbar, it sounds like they didn't give Menachos and Nesachim only when they came to Eretz Yisrael. Then the Torah repeats a few times in Parsha Shlach that the din applies equally to Gerim as to Klal Yisrael. The same din. Chuka Achas Lachem Alager. The din is the same for the ger and for everybody else. We mentioned the Gemara says in Yevamos that a ger tzorach shloisha, when a non-Jew converts, you have to have a bezin of three Yisraelim supervising the geris. They have to be there when he's tevel in the mikveh. They have to be there for the kabbalas al mitzvahs. L'chatchila, we require a bezin of three, even for the milah, for the bris milah of a ger. But the eved, we would be mekel if there wasn't a bezin b'shas milah. We would say you don't have to repeat it. You don't have to do atavas dam bris. But l'chatchila, we would require even a bezin of three for milah of a ger. So the Gemara says, how do you know that a ger tzarich shlosh and need a bezin of three? Because mishpat ksiv bei, there's a pasuk somewhere in Chumash where the word mishpat appears in connection with a ger. So the Rishonim are not sure which pasuk. So some say this is the pasuk, the last pasuk in Chamishi Torah Achas, mishpat decha yirlachem ela ger agar itchem. Here it says mishpat ksiv bei. That's how you know that you need a bezin of shlosh. There used to be dishonest rabbis, or ignorant rabbis, either dishonest or ignorant of halacha, and the rabbi with his two sons would constitute a bezin to be mekabel gerim. The rabbi with his two sons are related to each other. Just there's a din, just like krovim apostle ledayonim on a regular din Torah. You can't have krovim apostle ledayonis and krovim apostle ledayonis and krovim apostle to serve as dayonim and a bezin of gerim also. You need whatever a normal bezin requires. That was scandalous. There were a lot of scandals going on. Okay. Then the Torah has the institution of hafrash haschala. Also, only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Bevayachem el ha'aretz ashani mevi eschem shama. Then it says you have to be mafresh chala. Bevayachem el ha'aretz. The Gemara points out. Rashi quotes that Gemara. Rashi is fantastic on Chumash. Rashi introduces you to the whole Torah shebal peh. So. The other mitzvahs, atlias ba'aretz, trumas and ma'aser, shmita b'yevo, leket shikha peh, only began in year 15. It took shevish and kopshu, that's a pasuk in Yeshua, took 7 years for Bnei Yisrael to conquer the whole land from the Lamed Aleph Melochim, who had palaces there. And then it took another 7 years, shevish and chilko, took 7 years to divide Eretz Yisrael among the various shvatim, and then the mishpachas, and then the yechidim. So it took 14 years. And the chalukah was considered the gemar hakibush. So the kibush was the mikdash of Eretz Yisrael. So before year 15, Eretz Yisrael didn't have kedusha. It belonged to the Jewish people from the days of Avraham Avinu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, "Kum misalach ba'aretz la'orko l'rochba kilcho etineno." So the Gemara understands the pasuk. They mean that by walking around the borders of Eretz Yisrael, la'orko l'rochba, Avraham Avinu acquired ownership of Eretz Yisrael. That was a kinyan chazaka. And the Gemara in Bava Basra has a machlokes hatanoim. Does that kinyan chazaka apply even bizman hazeh? I want to sell you an orchard. I want to sell you a farm. And you walk around the borders. And I'll say, walk around the borders and acquire ownership. So we paskin that doesn't constitute a kinyan chazaka bizman hazeh. It was only once in the history of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a hayru ashur. In the days of Avraham Avinu, that was the kinyan. But the ownership of Eretz Yisrael was from the days of Avraham Avinu. And the Kedusha Sa'aretz was only started year 15 after Mishavar Yisrael HaSayadin, because the first 14 years it didn't yet have the Kedusha. And that's what we mentioned several times. The first Shemitah was year 21 and the first Yovel was year 64, because the first 14 years didn't count. So the 50th year after Eretz Yisrael had Kedusha was really year 64. Because the first 14 years didn't count. So with respect, Afrash Chazchala is not so. The Vayachem El Ha'aretz, when they crossed over the Yarden, right away the din of Chala began. Chala also is a mitzvah clear bar. It depends on Eretz Yisrael. Depends on Kedusha Sa'aretz. Apparently there was a different degree of Kedusha. So in this sense, Chala was Mochomer than Shumas HaMaisa. During the first 14 years, mitzvah of Chala was Noig Menat Torah. But the mitzvahs of Trumas and Maaseh, Shemitah V'Yovel, Lekdesh Shikcha Peh, didn't yet begin. The Gemara in the second parak in Ksubis, around Daf Chof Hei or so, the Gemara raises the possibility, and that's how we paskin, that there's a difference between the two in the other direction, also Lekula, that the Vayachem has a connotation of Bias Kulchem. When they came in the days of Yishur Ben Nun, they crossed over the Yarden, all of Klal Yisrael came. After the 7 years of Golas Bavel, when they came back from Bavel, a very tiny percentage of the Jewish population came back. Ruba de Ruba stayed behind. And the Gemara says in the first parak, and Yom HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very angry about that, and he punished, he told, Shlomo HaMelech said in advance, That's Psukim and Shir Hashirim. The Gemara says, if everybody will return after the Golus Bavel, after 70 years, then the second Beis HaMikdash will be like made from metal. Ein harekim sholot bo. Metal doesn't rot. So the second Beis HaMikdash will be lasting. It won't be destroyed. And we will, the Jewish people won't rot. We will continue to have Nevi'im. However, in Delasi, if only Dalasa Amul show up, there'll be a very small population of people, very small percentage, way less than half of the people showed up in the beginning of the Baisheni period, then Natsalalu Achores, then the second Beis HaMikdash will be like a wooden, Erez is cedar tree, cedar wood. So the second Beis HaMikdash will be like a wooden hut, just like wooden buildings, Rekiv Sholot Bo, they rot away. So too, the second Beis HaMikdash will be doomed to destruction. Also, the second Beis HaMikdash will rot, and also the Jewish people will rot away. There won't be any more Nevi'im. But Gimel Nevi'im Ola Imar Mibavo, the Rebbe Shalom wanted them to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And Halacha says, you can't build a Beis HaMikdash without authorization from a Navi. That's the drasha of the Torah Shalopeh on the Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. The Shichna Sidrushu, Uvasa Shama, so the Sifrei says, L'shichna Sidrushu, drosh al pi Navi. So the Rebbe Shalom had to bring Gimel Nevi'im Ola Imar Mibavo, Chagas Chai Malachi had to come to give Nevuah, authorizing the building on the second Beis HaMikdash. But that was it. Malachi signs off at the end of his Nevuah. He's the last of the Nevi'im Achrayim. And he says, Zichu Teres Moshe Abdi, you better keep all the mitzvahs in the Torah. The Baruch Shalom said he's not going to send any more Nevi'im. He's angry at Bnei Yisrael because they didn't show up. So the Gemara points out that at the beginning of the Baisheni period, they had to be Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael a second time. The accepted opinion is that during the 70 years of Golus Babel, it was Botlo Kedusha Sa'aretz. The Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael vanished, and the Rambam explains why in Hilchos Beis HaBchira, because since the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael was the Kibush, and the Babylonian armies took the Kibush away from the Jewish people, so they undid the Kibush, so the whole Kedusha was undone. So the Churban Bais Rishon, the Kedusha Sa'aretz was undone. It's a machlokes hatanaim and a machlokes the Rambam and the Ravid, whether even the Kedushas HaMikdash was also batla. So the Ravid holds the Kedushas HaMikdash was also batla at the time of Churban Bais Rishon and Churban Bais Sheni. And the Ravid holds that Bizman and Zeh, there's no Kedusha to the Mokam HaMikdash. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam, the Gemara puts it together. The Gemara talks about whether Kitcha lo silova, lo Kitcha lo silova. The Gemara seems to equate whether Kedushas HaOretz was Kitcha lo silova, and whether Kedushas HaMikdash was Kitcha lo silova. But the Rishonim already say, Tosfos Megillah and Daf Yud quotes Rav Chaim Kohen, that there's room to distinguish. So the Rambam and the Ravid both distinguish. The Rambam holds that during the 7 years of Golus Bavel, there was no Kedushas HaOretz, but there was Kedushas HaMikdash. The Rambam holds that Kedushas HaMikdash was never batla. From the day that Shlomo HaMelech built the Bais Rishon, Kedushas HaMikdash was Kitcha lo silova. And the Ravid holds not so. The Ravid holds the Kedusha HaMikdash was batla. Was batla, but the Rambam and the Ravid and the Baal HaTez, they all see that there are Gemaras where the two are not equated. You don't necessarily have to equate the two. So the Gemara says in the beginning, in the Baal Sheni period, when they were Mekadosh Ezra and Nechemi, when Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael knew, so the second Kiddush was not based on Kibush. It was not based on Kibush. There was no Kibush. The Jewish people didn't have their own independent Jewish government until the days of the Hashmonaim. That was a few centuries later. The Hashmonaim took over a little over 200 years before the Churban HaBais. And Baisheni lasted for a long time. According to the Gemara, the Baisheni lasted for 420 years. Bais Rishon says in Tanakh that it lasted for 410 years. Baisheni is not in Tanakh. So the Gemara says Baisheni lasted for 420 years. And the Goyish history books say that it lasted 150 years longer than that, way longer than that. So that's a question, whether we follow the Goyish, we assume the Goyish history books are correct, or the Gemara is correct. So the Baal HaMor in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah writes, we all know that the Gemara is wrong because the Goyish history books say that there were many more kings there. In Tanakh, it has the names of a lot of kings. The Gemara says it's the same person, he had five different names. So the Baal HaMor says, what do you mean? In the Goyish history books, there are five different kings. The 150 years missing. So Baal HaMor thinks that the Goyish history books are right. And the Ravid learned Becharusa with the Baal HaMor So the Ravid has Hasogas on the Balamos. He says, Apikiris, how can you say against the Gemara? The Gemara says it was 420 years. The Glacier history books don't know what they're talking about. That's a question. It's a question. Rabbi Schwab used to be the rabbi in Breuer's community for quite a few years. So he printed a whole book on this. He thinks that the Chachmei HaGemara knew that the Bai Sheni was much longer, and they hid the information so that people shouldn't try to guess when Mashiach is going to come. The Gemara says, Tipach Rucham Shemachash Veikitzim. Those who try to calculate when Mashiach is going to come, it's not a good thing, because then if Mashiach doesn't come based on your calculations, your interpretations, then you're going to give up your belief in the Jewish religion. So you shouldn't try to calculate when Mashiach has come. So Rabbi Schwab's idea was that the Tanoim knew, the Chachamim knew, Bai Sheni was way more than 420 years, and they intentionally concealed the information in order to confuse the public. They shouldn't make calculations. Chazanish used to think that the Gemara's calculation is more correct, and many Gedolim assume that the history books are more correct. Many Gedolim assume. So the Gemara has this comment that in the beginning of the Bai Sheni period, when Ezra and Nehemiah were Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael a second time, there was no Bias Kulchem. There was such a small percentage of the Jewish population. All the Jews remained behind in Bavel. They didn't want to go back to Eretz Yisrael. So since there was a lack of Bias Kulchem, so even though Leket Shikha Peya Trumas Amaisa, maybe everything is Daraisa, but Chaleh Bizman Hazeh is only Midrabbanan. That's what we assume. Chaleh and Chutz Lortz is for sure only Midrabbanan. Why did they introduce Chaleh and Chutz Lortz all over the world and Trumas Amaisis is only in Eretz Yisrael? So Tosfos says, Kedesh lo tishtakach Toras Chaleh. The Jews are going to be scattered all over Harbor Kamfas Haaretz. They're going to forget that there's a mitzvah of Chaleh. So in order that the mitzvah shouldn't be forgotten, so they introduced Chaleh and Chutz Lortz. But why didn't they introduce Trumas Amaisis also? Why only Chaleh? Trumas Amaisis they introduced by Rotzis Asmuchas Lertzo, only countries bordering on Eretz Yisrael. In America, in France, in Germany, Tosfos says they never introduced the mitzvahs midrabbanan of Trumas Amaisris because it's nowhere near Eretz Yisrael. So how come Chaleh? Yes, so Tosfos says Chaleh doesn't. It looks like a chayvus aguf. It doesn't look like a mitzvah pliyibor. It looks like a chayvus aguf. So that's why he introduced it all over the world. So Chaleh b'chutz lortz is clearly only midrabbanan, kadei shelo tishtakach taras Chaleh. What about Chaleh in Eretz Yisrael today? So the way we accept, the Gemara has two versions, two opinions there in Ksubis around Daf Chafei. The accepted opinion is that Chaleh in Eretz Yisrael is only midrabbanan today because there never was a bias kulchem in the beginning of the Bai Sheni period. There was a lack of bias kulchem. But the Leket Shikrapeya, which most of the farmers don't observe, Leket Shikrapeya, that's a real din deraisa today, because we assume Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha min HaTorah. Yeah, the Rambam writes that the obligation to be mafresh Trumas HaMaisis in Eretz Yisrael today, afilu b'mei Ezra, he said, b'zman hazeh, afilu b'mei Ezra, before the Churban Bai Sheni, was only midrabbanan. Why is it only midrabbanan? The Gemara seems to say that it was deraisa. The Gemara says that Chaleh is midrabbanan because the lack of bias kulchem, the vayachem. The vayachem is different from Trumas HaMaisis, lechumra and lekula. Lechumra, that in the first 14 years there was a chi of Chaleh, even though there was no chi of Trumas HaMaisis, and lekula, that in the time of the Bai Sheni, there were Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael again, only for Trumas HaMaisis. Trumas HaMaisis is deraisa, and Chaleh is only derabbanan. So where does the Rama come off to say the Trumas HaMaisis Bizman HaZeh is only midrabbanan? So he would have said Bizman HaZeh is derabbanan after the Churban Bai Sheni, because Lo Kitcha Lo Silova. But he doesn't say that. He says Afilu B'mei Ezra was only midrabbanan even during the Zman of the Bai Sheni. Why? So that's problematic. What is the Rambam driving at? So that's famous. The Beis HaLevi quotes his son, Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, the Rosh Yeshiva in Valozhin, who gave the following explanation that in the beginning of Parshas Behar, it says in the Chumash that every 7th year is Shemitah and every 50th year is Yovel. So Yovel doesn't apply Bizman HaZeh, the Gemara says, because they don't have Kol Yoshveho Aleho, because the Pasuk says, Across from Jorba Oritz L'chol Yoshveho. That's the Pasuk on the Liberty Belt. Thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants. I used to live in Philadelphia. I used to walk on Shabbos to the Liberty Bell to visit the Mekomes HaKdoshim, Betsy Ross's house and Dolly Madison's house and Thomas Jefferson's house and all that, Independence Hall, all the Mekomes HaKdoshim there. So the Pasuk says, you only observe Yovel when you have Kol Yosheveh HaLeah. If the majority, overwhelming majority of the world Jewish population doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have Yovel. Then there's a machlokes hatanayim, Rebbe and the Rabbanan. Does the mitzvah of Shemitah apply b'zman hazeh? If you know in advance that it can't lead up to Yovel. So we paskin the first daf in Moed Katan, daf Gimel. Second daf in Moed Katan is the middle of Gittin, in the Sugya Pruzbal, daf Lamed Zayin. We paskin like Rebbe, that if you know in advance that you don't have Kol Yosheveh HaLeah, and the Shemitah, the seven Shemitahs, the 49 years will not lead up to observance of Yovel, then the whole observance of Shemitah is only midirabbanan. So then Rav Chaim just explained, once you've arrived at that conclusion, that Shemitah is only midirabbanan, then Trumas and Maisus has to be midirabbanan. Because Trumas and Maisus depends on which year in the Shemitah cycle is it. If it's the first 2 years in Mafrish Maisus Sheni, the third year you Mafrish Maisus Rani, the fourth and the fifth years in Mafrish Maisus Sheni, the sixth year you Mafrish Maisus Rani, seventh year everything is Hepke, you're not Mafrish anything, you make everything Hepke. You're not mafresh anything. And even the difference between the first year and the second year, you're not supposed to be mafresh mishon al chavata. The Pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh, aser te aser is called tuaz arecha hayotze hasode shono shono. So the Gemara learns that from that Pasuk, shono shono. You shouldn't be mafresh mishon al chavata. If you had peiros that grew in the first year of Shemitah cycle, and peiros that grew the second year, you can't mix them together and be mafresh. You have to be mafresh. We also shana al also shana. You can be mafresh in one field and another, as long provided everything grew in the same year. But if some peiros grew in 1 year, some peiros grew the other year, you're not supposed to be mafresh mishana al chabata. So in order to establish how you mafresh shumas and maisis, you have to know what year of the Shemitah cycle it is. In order to have Shemitah, you have to have the ability of the Yovel. So if you don't have Kol Yosheveh HaLeah, there's no Yovel, Memeila, there's no Shemitah, there's no Shemitah, Memeila, there's no Trumas HaMaisa. That's what the Beis HaLevi quotes in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. He didn't quote it exactly accurately. So when the Beis HaLevi sent his Sefer to the Or Sameach, so the Or Sameach read this, and he sent him a letter. The way he quoted Rav Chaim, so the Osmech sent my letter, it's not correct, and he showed why it's not correct. So the Beis HaLevi sent the letter on to Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim should answer on his own, let him defend his own idea. So Rav Chaim realized that the Beis HaLevi had misquoted what he said. So he had a choice of either writing to the Osmech, my father misquoted what I said, and this is what I really said, and therefore there's no kasha, or to admit that he was wrong. So rather than be Mavaza, his father, rather than say the Beis HaLevi misquoted what I said, so he said, you're right, what I said was wrong. But that's the way Rav Soloveitchik said it over. He said it over like that, then there's no kasha. Then the Osamech's kasha was not a kasha. There's a Sefer Abu Dram, which is by one of the late Rishonim, early Achronim, Rav David Abu Dram, and he works on the Nusach HaTfilah. He explains he works on the premise that every brach and every tefillah has to be composed in biblical Hebrew. So he quotes from every phrase that appears in the Siddur. Much of the Siddur is straight from Tilim, straight from Tanakh. As Yoshua is from Chumash, okay? Different parts and different svar. And then when you have a bracha or a tefillah, so he'll show you where every phrase comes from. So he's working on the assumption that all the tefillahs have to be in a biblical Hebrew. The Netziv, in his commentary on the Shiltas, disagrees with the whole premise of the whole Sefer. He says you can put the whole Sefer in the Shemus. He thinks the whole premise is incorrect. He has a raya from the Gemara. Really sounds like that. The Gemara in connection with the bracha bara mina mezainis. So the Gemara seems to say that the brachas depend on Lashon Minayodim. Doesn't depend on Lashon HaTanach. But many of the Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch have adopted the position of the Abu Dram, and that's in Hilchas Afrosh Haschala and Yeridei Chelek Shlishi. There's a machlokes, the Mechaber and the Ramah. What is the Nusach HaBrocha when a person is Mafresh Chala? So the Mechaber writes, the Nusach HaBrocha should be Asher Kedushana B'mitzvah Yisrael B'tzivanu Al HaFrashas Truma. Because in Biblical Hebrew, Chala is a Yiddishism. Chala is a slang word. In Biblical Hebrew, it says, V'hoi B'chochem Elechem Ha'aret Tarima Truma L'Hashem. It should be Mafrish Truma. Then it says, Tarima Truma. Because Truma is Goran Ken Tarimu Oysa. The Mishnah says, we discussed this more than once this year. The Mishnah says that there's a machlekes hatanaim, how much non-kosher food does one have to swallow in order to get malchus? So Reb Shimon in the third parak in Malchus, I think that Yud Zayin or so, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, Shimon is quoted in the Mishnah as saying, kol shehu l'malchus, if you have swallow a chatzi shir, you get malchus. So we don't pass on like that. We pass on like Reb Yechon, a chatzi shir is also minatar, but there's no malchus. What if a person eats a half of a shira basa b'cholav, half a gazais of basa b'cholav, half a gazais of chazir? So there's an opinion, Rav Meir, isur mitztar from zem zeh, he swallowed a gazais of isa, so he gets malchus. We don't paskan like that either. We paskan any isur mitztar from zem zeh, unless it's all shem echad. So what's an example of shem echad? So the Mishnah has the following example. A person, I'm not a kohen, and I eat a quarter of a kazais of truma, a quarter of a kazais of bikurim, a quarter of a kazais of chala, and a quarter of a kazais of maisa mena maisa. So the Mishnah in Me'ila said that's all shem echad. That's all truma. It's all truma. Shem echad of truma. So strictly speaking, the Mechaber writes the bracha brachas are supposed to be in biblical Hebrew. The bracha over hafrashas truma, hafrashas chala, should really be shekudashanim zatzanu al hafrashas truma. The Ramah writes that the meaning by the Ashkenazim is Ebroch al Afroshes Chala. Chala is a slang expression. The Mishnah is called Mishnah is Chala. Mishnah talks about Afroshes Chala, but in Biblical Hebrew, the word Chala means the raw dough. Reishis Avi say Sechem Chala, Torim Truma Lashem. When you have the raw dough, you should be Mafresh the Truma. But in Biblical Hebrew, the Chala refers to the raw dough. So the Ramah has the minig is that the Ashkenazim, that you say the bracha not in biblical Hebrew, but rather in Mishnaic Hebrew. And that really is problematic. That's the diyun also on Shmini Atzeres, when you daven. When you say Kiddush, you say, Yama Shmini Chago Atzeres Hazer. That's how the Rishonim have. Rashi and Tosafot have. Yama Shmini Chago Atzeres Hazer. So the Ramah writes, you shouldn't say Chago Atzeres Hazer, because Chag in biblical Hebrew only refers to a yontav when you mechuyev to bring a korban chagiga. Shmini Atzeres is not mechayev in a korban chagiga. If you didn't bring a chagiga on Sukkos, there's still tashlumin. You can bring the chagiga during the duration of the 7 days of Sukkos, not only through Hashanah Rabbah, even through Shmini Atzeres also. Shmini Atzeres is a chag in the sense it's tashlumin for Sukkos, but you don't say Yom Hashmini Chag Atzeres Hazeh. Shmini Atzeres itself is not a chag. So the Ramah says, "Say Yom Hashmini Atzeres Hazeh." You should leave out the word chag. And so they quote the Marshal didn't want to leave out the word chag, so he said, "You say Yom Hashmini Atzeres Hachag Hazeh. The Atzeres of Chag Sukkos. Sukkos was a chag. So Shmini Atzeres is Atzeres Hachag Hazeh." That's what the Marshal suggested, to leave in the word chag, but to refer to Shmini Atzeres as Atzeres HaChag HaZeh. A lot of people daven Nusach Sfard, so they pause in the wrong place. They say, Yom HaShmini Atzeres, pause, HaChag HaZeh. So they didn't, so what, they have to change it? So they could have left it the way Rashi and Tosfos right. Yom HaShmini Chag Atzeres HaZeh. If you pause after the word Atzeres, then you're referring to Shmini Atzeres as HaChag. That's what the Ramah said, you can't do that. Because in Biblical Hebrew, Shmini Atzeres is not a chag. In Loshem Meni Odom, Shmini Atzeres is a chag. That's what the Taz quotes as a Mishnah in the Dorm. If a person takes a net, he won't eat potato chips until after the chag. So the Mishnah says he's not allowed to eat potato chips till after Shmini Atzeres is over. Because Shmini Atzeres, but Loshem Meni Odom is a chag. But in Loshem HaTanach, it's not a chag. And the brachas and the tefillas are supposed to be in the Loshem of Tanach. The Taz quotes that from the Maharal Prague. Rami Prag also assumed, like the Abu Dram, that all of Kiddush, Havdalah, and Brachas, and Tfilas are supposed to be in a biblical Hebrew, not supposed to be in a Loshem Meni Odom Hebrew, not supposed to be in slang. So that's a big shaila about what's the Nusach HaBrachim when you mafresh Chala. There is a discussion in the Simen Aleph and Yeridei about Birchas HaShchita. Not only when you shecht karbonis, do you say a bracha? Shechting a karbon is the first of the dalet avodas adam. You don't need a koyin in that sense. Shechita lav avodah, you don't need a koyin. Shechita is the first of the dalet avodas adam that are liikuvim. Hepshet v'nituach and haktorah, that's not miakev. But the shechita kavala halacha zvika are all miakev. And the four avodas in a mincha that are parallel to the dalet avodas adam in a karbon are also miakev by the mincha. So when you shech the carbon, of course, you say bracha shekachan v'nsoisavet zivanu lishchat esazevach. That's a mitzvah to shech carbonus. But what about shechitas chulin? Shechitas chulin is a matir. Is it really a mitzvah? That's very questionable. So the Rambam counts it as a mitzvah in the minyan mitzvah. So it's a question: did he really mean that it's a mitzvah? It's a mitzvah to shech, or did he mean it's a parsha? He counts the parsha of shechita. That's a question. Ram Soloveitchik thought like those who, the Kesem Mishnah says, the Ram held that it's a mitzvah. The Ram held, whenever, you're not mechuyev to eat, you're not mechuyev to shecht, but whenever you're interested in eating meat, it's a mitzvah to see to it that they shecht the behemoth properly. And Ram Soloveitchik thought, like the others who don't agree with the Kesem Mishnah, Chaim Berlin has, the alumni of Chaim Berlin put together, originally, they put together one volume of collected letters by Rab Chaim Berlin. He was the son of the Netziv. He was the son from the first wife. And for a while, he was, when the Netziv retired from running the yeshiva, so he took Rab Chaim Berlin to be the Rosh Yeshiva. Then the students had a whole riot, and they saw to it that they kicked him out. They didn't want him to be the Rosh Yeshiva. So he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He was rabbi in Moscow for a while. Then he moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he spent the last years of his life in Eretz Yisrael. So when he passed away, that's when they found that she was Rab Chaim Berlin. They named it after him. He died that year. So the alumni of Chaim Berlin put together one volume of collected tshuvas and collected letters of Rab Chaim Berlin. After they printed it, so more people came up with more letters that turned into three volumes, three fat volumes of collected letters. He used to correspond with many gedolim in Europe. He lived in Europe most of the time. Till he moved there, it's his song. So one of the letters he writes, he doesn't agree with the Kesem Mishnah. He thought that the Rambam didn't mean to say that Shechita is a mitzvah, it's a matir. So that's a question. What's the nature of whenever you say a bracha before Shekadishana the mitzvah, it means that it's a mitzvah. Maybe it's a matir, and you say bracha on a matir. Let's say you make an eruv echatzeris. He said, bracha, an eruv chatzeris, a mitzvah seiruv. It's not a mitzvah, you're not mechuyev to make eruv chatzeris. If you want to carry, so you need the heter of eruv chatzeris. But the pashtus says, once in a while, the chachamim were misakan a bracha on a matir, even though there is no mitzvah. So that's a shaila. What's the nature of the din of hafroshas trumas amaisis and hafroshas chala? Is hafroshas trumas amaisis and chala, is that a mitzvah? Or is it a matir? Nafkamina, let's say a person has tons of food. He has a farm in Eretz, has tons of food. And he's not going to eat it. He's not interested in eating it. He's not interested in selling it to anybody else. So he's going to flood the market with more food, then the price of the food is going to go down. If there's too much supply and not enough demand, so then the price is going to go down. So in America, for many years, they used to dump tons and tons of pears that they grew in America in the ocean, in order to keep the prices up in the marketplace. So what's the din? I have a ton of food that grew in Eretz Yisrael. I'm not interested in eating. I'm not interested in selling it to anybody else. I'm just going to leave it there. Is there a mitzvah to be mafresh trumas and maaser? They say, no, it's a matter. If you're not interested in eating it, you're not mechuyev. So this is a discussion in Yerideh, Simen Aleph, when the Taz talks about the Birchas HaShechita, that they assume that it's a bracha and a matir. So they discuss what's the story about hafroshas trumas and maisis. So there's a Magen Avraham in Simen Ches in Orechaim where the Magen Avraham thinks that hafroshas chal and trumas maisis is only a matir, and the Taz in Simen Aleph in Yerudeh thinks that it's a mitzvah. So the Marsham gives you a lot of marmukhanis. The Marsham lived, died 100 years ago. He has a Sefer Das Torah. It's tremendous bikiyas. He was a fantastic baki. There's a lot of Marmikaims on this topic. The name of the Vilna Gaon, the Talmidei HaGro, quote in his name, based on Psukim in Yecheskel, that perhaps there's a difference between Hafrashas Chala and Hafrashas Trumas HaMaisas, that maybe Chala is a mitzvah and Trumas HaMaisas is only a matir. Classically, traditionally, they always assume that it's one shayla on both, whether Chala and Trumas HaMaisas, the same shayla on both, whether it's a mitzvah or it's a matir, and afkamina, if you're not interested in eating it, you're going to throw it out. You're just going to let it rot. Is it still a mitzvah to be mafresh Trumas HaMaisas and to give it to the Kohanim? Once you're mafresh, then it's a mitzvah to give it to the Kohanim. But with the Chiyav HaFrasha, is there a Chiyav HaFrasha only if you're interested in eating the food because it's a matir? Or do you say, no, it's a mitzvah to be mafresh? So the Talmidei HaGro quote in his name, based on a pasuk in Yecheskel, a svara to distinguish between between HaFrasha's Trumas HaMaisas, as opposed to Hafrashas Chala. Then the Torah has the parsha of there's a din in Vayikra in Tzav, in Vayikra. If a person does an aver b'shogeg, he's chay b'chatos. What aver did he do b'shogeg? What, he cheated in business b'shogeg? He probably cheated b'mezid. So what aver did he do that is chayv to bring a chatos b'shogeg? So the Gemara learns that from the Psukim. It's only if he violated an Issa Kores. Dobish has done a Kores, so she gigos al chatos. If he violates the aver b'shogeg, has to bring a chatos. So this applies to how many chayv krisis are there, how many averes are there. That's the opening Mishnah in Masechas Krisis. So it says, Lamed vav krisis hamur is batur. There are 36 averes for which he chayv Kores. So on all of them, you bring a chatos, normal chatos. And if the Bez Nagodl made a mistake in Psak, they allowed a certain kind of chelev, or they allowed a certain malocha on Shabbos, or they allowed a certain kind of chametz b'pesach. And then they realized that they made a mistake, and it turns out till they reversed the Psak, 51% of the Yoshvei Eretz Yisrael violated this avera because of the mistake in Psak of the Bez Nagodl. Instead of telling each and every individual person who violated the aver, he should bring a chatos, Bez Nagodl brings a par halam dovah shel tzibur. So in Parsha Shlach it says, that applies to all the other Isuri Kores except for Avodah Zarah. If the Bez Nagodl made a mistake, so instead of par halam dovah shel tzibur, they bring a whole different korban. Bez Nagodl brings it, they allowed a certain kind of Avodah Zarah. They said, God is only jealous if you have an Avodah Zarah from silver or gold or copper, a precious metal. You make an Avodah Zarah for a wooden totem pole, God doesn't care about that, do whatever you want. And then 51% of the Tzibur worships Avodah Zarah on a wooden totem pole. And then the Bez Nagodl, maybe the next Bez Nagodl, all the old people retired and the younger people to come, and they said, that's ridiculous. Even Avodah Zarah Shel Eitz is also awesome. Not only Avodah Zarah Shel Mateches, a precious metal. So if Rav HaTzibur violated Avodah Zarah because of the mistake in Psaka, the Bez Nagodl, then they don't bring a parhel in Dovash HaTzibur, they bring an oila and a chatos, and everything is different. Then it says, and if an individual, Nefesh Achas Tech Tebishgog, an individual person sinned, so if it would have been Chelev Dam, Malacha b'Shabbos, eating the Yom Kippur, Chametz b'Pesach, any other Issa Kores, Nida, any other Issa Kores that the person violated b'Shogeg, it brings Kizba o Seira. And if he violated Avodah Zarah, then it says that he brings Eiz Bashnas Alachatos. An Eiz, a Zohar, not an Ekeva. Eiz Bashnas Alachatos. The dinim are different. When you do Avodah Zarah b'Shogeg, then it's a different. Then the Torah has the parsha of the Mekoshesh. The Mekoshesh says Mechal Shabbos, b'mezid. So the Mechal Shabbos was, so it says, they put him in prison. What did they not know? So the Tanoim were not sure what was unknown. So some Tanoim are of the opinion they didn't even know if he's Chayv Nisan. The din of Shabbos was told already. It was after Aseres Hadin, it was after Maim Hasina. So they knew Shamas Yom Shabbos Vatatcha, but they didn't know that he's Chayv Nisa. The Gemara doesn't like that opinion. The more popular opinion in the Gemara Sanhedrin was that Moshe Rabbeinu knew that Mekoshesh is Chayv Chatos, because it says Mechaleh Mos Yomos, but he just didn't know which Misa. So they put him in prison. They didn't know which Misa. So Tosfos there in Sanhedrin has a kasha. If you don't know what Misa, so the Gemara has the rule, is Tam Misa Amor Abatar Ein Ela Chenek. So why do they have a whole, why do they put him in jail? Because they didn't know. Should have given Chenek. So Tosfos says, no, but they were Mesupik. Maybe on the one hand, Tam Misa Amor Abatar Ein Ela Chenek. But on the other hand, he was Mechal Shabbos Bifar Hesia. Chal Shabbos Bifar Hesia is Ka'ovid Avoid Zarya. That's when you get to the din of Mumma Lachal Shabbos Bifar Hesia. It's a Mumma Lachal Tarakula. Because Ka'ovid Avoid Zarya. So since Ka'ovid Avoid Zarya is Biskila, so maybe Mechal Shabbos should also be Biskila. So Tosfos interprets that was the Safi. On the one hand, should be Mechal Shabbos should be Bechenik. Stamni Samar Vator Ena Lechenik. Mechale Amos Yumos. But on the other hand, since it was Avodah Zarah b'Farhesia, so maybe Mechal Shabbos b'Farhesia, Dina Koy b'Avodah Zarah, maybe it was B'Skila. That's what Tosfos interprets. So Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Gilyan Ashas on that Tosfos in Sanhedrin, towards the end of Sanhedrin, so Rabbi Akiva Eger asked the Kasha, how do you take no halacha l'maisa that a Mechal Shabbos is B'Skila? Maybe only they were told that the Mekoshish deserves Skila. He deserves skida. Maybe he only deserves skida because it was Mechal Shabbos b'Farhesia. But if a person would be Mechal Shabbos b'Tzim, maybe it is b'Chenek. That's Rabbi Kivega's kasha. So remember once years ago, Rabbi Breuer, Zechon Lavrocha, we were a group of boys, so he was talking to us and learning. So he gave us a teretz based on the psukim, how you read the psukim. Okay. But the kasha is a snappy kasha. That's Rabbi Kivega's kasha. Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik points out in his sefer that there's a difference, an interesting difference between Malkus and Misa. And Malkus, the din is v'pila hashof v'kol lefonov k'dei v'shos v'mispar. The Malkus should be administered in the presence of the bezin. V'kol lefonov. By Misa, it's b'dapke shelo b'fnei bezin. The pasuk says in today's sedra, in chapter Tezvah, pasuk lamed hey, it says, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in the beginning of Rabbi Misa, says, Chutz l'shalosh machnas. You're not allowed to administer Misa's Bezin in the presence of the Bezin. It shouldn't be even inside the city. It should be Chutz l'shalosh machnas, Chutz l'Yerushalayim, and Chutz to all the cities in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Chaim tries to make a difference with respect to Edom Zemim. It's a famous, difficult Rav Chaim. It's a problematic Rav Chaim in the Sefer. And the parsha ends off with the din of tzitzis, the two parts, the tzitzis, the trelis and lovan. And there's a machlekes in the days of the Tanayin, there's a machlekes where the trelis ma'akevis as a lovan, and lovan ma'akevis a trelis, the both parts are ma'akvim zeh. Or not, and we paskin, most of the Rishonim paskin, that they're not miachim. If you have all the strings are white, you have no trelis. All the strings are trelis, you have no white. You yotze the mitzvah in an incomplete fashion. The kiyama mitzvah is shalob bishlei musa, but there's a partial kiyama mitzvah, and you can say a brocha on it. The Beis Halevi says if a person has trelis available and he doesn't bother to use it, then he's in violation of baltigra. He says, if a person, let's say, instead of putting in four strings, he puts in one string. So that's not Baltigra. He thinks he's just not Yotze the Mitzvah. Let's say you have tefillin, you only have three parshias in the tefillin. So he thinks he develops a whole lot, and he thinks that's not Baltigra. That's not Yotze the Mitzvah of tefillin. Baltigra only applies if you have a korban chatos. It's supposed to have four zrikas on four karnas hamizbech, and you only did one or two or three, and you had the ability to do four, so that's the violation about Tigran, because you yotze the mitzvah, but yevet shelo bishlei musa. But if you leave out something and you're just not yotze the mitzvah, the Beis Halevi thinks, based on Rishayim or Rashba like that, he thinks that that's not a violation of Bal Tigra. He says, when it would be Bal Tigra, if you have trelis and loven available, and you don't bother to put in the trelis, so then you're in violation of Batigra. You fulfill the mitzvah shelo bishlei musa when you have the opportunity to do it bishlei musa. And what if you don't have trelis available? Why aren't you in violation of Batigra there? So perhaps one can say if it's not available, it's not available. I didn't choose to do the mitzvah shelo b'shleimusa. Beis Halevi doesn't say that. He says that all the people who walk around all these centuries with the lavan tzitzis without chelas is based on esse dechaloi sese. Since they want to fulfill the mitzvah sese of wearing tzitzis, and they don't have chelas available, so essay, the essay of tzitzis is decha the lois essay of Baltigra. Very mechudishdik. That everybody's walking around with essay decha lois essay. Others say easier whenever it's not available. So it wasn't your choice. So it's not really a violation of Baltigra. The Rambam counts chelas and lovin as one mitzvah. We spoke before Shavuos a little bit about inyanim and sefer mitzvahs. So the Rav. So Rav Daniel HaBavli was a dayan in Baghdad, and he had a correspondence with the Rambam's son, Ben Avraham Ben Rambam. So he quotes the Rambam, writes that Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh should be counted as two distinct mitzvahs. A lot of Rishonim counted as one mitzvah, two parts of one big mitzvah. Because there's a Seder L'chatchile. First, he's supposed to put on the Shal Yad and the Shal Rosh. That shows that there's a connection between the two. So some Rishonim hold this one mitzvah. So the Rambam holds the Klal is, since Shal Yad is not Me'akim Shal Rosh, and Rosh is not Me'akim Shal Yad, so they should be counted as two distinct mitzvahs. Ma'asheni ken the Dalaminim Shebelulov, since they're Me'akim Zeh, so you don't even get partial credit. You don't even have a partial kiyum mitzvah if you don't have all the dalet minim. So that's counted as one mitzvah. That's the Rambam's klal. So Rav Daniel HaBavli was bothered with Akasha that since we paskin tchelus enim akev, the Rambam paskins, most of the Rishonim paskin, tchelus enim akev, love enim akev, so the Rambam should have counted lishitosa based on his klal, shouldn't count the tchelus and love as two distinct mitzvahs. So why did he count that as one mitzvah? It says in the Sifrei like that, says it's one mitzvah. It says maybe the Sifrei is going with the Tana that they are me'akvim zeh. That's why the Sifrei counts it as one mitzvah. Risa moso, it doesn't say risa mosom. So it says in the singular, so the Sifrei Zuta says, you see that it's all one mitzvah. He says, yeah, Sifrei Zuta goes with the Shita that they're me'akvim zeh. But once the Rambam paskens that they're not me'akvim zeh, so he should have really counted it as two distinct mitzvahs. That's why Ben Avraham says, no, you have to use your seichel a little bit. Chelus and love, when you tie everything all together, how can you say they're two different mitzvahs? It's two parts of the same mitzvah, even though they're not me'akvim zeh zeh. But it's not mistabit to say that it's two mitzvahs. Tefillin Shel Yad, Tefillin Shel Rosh, different parts of the body, different things. So there, it makes sense to say it's nitan lehayomer that is two distinct mitzvahs. But the tchelus and the lavan are two parts of the same. You tie one big knot and everything all together. So he says, of course, it's only one mitzvah. This whole correspondence between Rav Daniel HaBavli, he was a dayan in Baghdad, and Rav Daniel Avraham Ben Rambam was printed in Paris, the late 1860s or something. The sefer was paid for by Mr. Nisim. He paid for the publication of the sefer, so that's why it's called Ma'aseh Nisim, because Mr. Nisim paid for it. Rabbi Soloveitchik, but sometimes, every so often, he would quote from the sefer, and he never read the title page. Title page says why it's called Ma'aseh Nisim. Mr. Nisim paid for it, so he would always say the same comment. He doesn't understand why it's called Ma'aseh Nisim. He never saw any Nisim in the floors over there. It's all straight halacha. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was Yodua that the Maharam Rutenberg wouldn't wear tzitzis in the street on Shabbos outside of the Erev. So different Talmidim of the Maharam wrote different reasons why. So some wrote that it was choshesh for the opinion of the Balamor. Balamor in Perek Lamim Adlikin, his commentary on the Rif, paskins la'alocha like Rebbe, atcheles ma'keves ha'salovan, lovan ma'keves atcheles. And the Ramban writes over there in the Mochamas, in Perek Lamim Adlikin, Shamanu, we heard, that the Balamor never wore talus, he never wore tzitzis. He never wore tzitzis because he holds tchelus makevus asalom. We don't have tchelus available for so many centuries. So what are you wasting your time to put tzitzis on if you don't have any kima mitzvah anyway? Remember Rav Soloveitchik was talking about this Balamor. He says, really? I can't believe it. You mean they buried the Balamor without putting a talus on him? He was bothered. How did they bury the Balamor without talus? Ramban says, we heard that he never wore a talus during his lifetime. Never wore tzitzis. Yeah. So the different Talmidim of the Maharam Gutmer gave different explanations. So some said Maharam Gutmer was choshish for the Shitas Balamor, that Chelis Makevis is Alovon. So therefore, if you're going to wear tzitzis with strings on the beged, the strings are amasui. The whole reason why the strings are not amasui, it's not an isah hitzah, because you make a mitzvah with it. But if it's basal tzitzis, then the Gemara says it's amasui, then you're in violation of hitzah. So that's what some of the Talmidim said. Other Talmidim of the Maharam Rukmah gave a different explanation. Why? Maharam was afraid that maybe the chutim would tear, maybe the strings would tear, and they would become pasul, and then if they become pasul, then he'll be in violation of hitzah on the string. So they asked the Netziv which explanation does he think is more correct. So he thinks that the more correct explanation, he thinks that the Talmidim who are closer to the Maharam Rutenberg understood better what the reason was. And the real correct reason was because it was choshish for the Balamor's opinion. And the others who were not that close to the Maharam Rutenberg, they misunderstood and they guessed incorrectly. They thought that the reason was that the Maharam was concerned maybe the chutim will tear. This is his, this is the tshuva. In the Meshim Tovah. That's the tshuva. How many strings of tchelis do you put in? That's a big machloikas. The Rambam's opinion is that you have one out of eight. In other words, you dye half a string. You can't take a string after it's already twined. If you're going to dye it after it's twined, the dye is not going to take, dye will only dye the outside of the string. It won't affect the inside. So that's no good. So you have to dye the wool before you make it into a string. So then you got to stand on your head. There's quite a trick over here. To use blue wool to make a half a string, then use white wool to make the other half of the same string. Going to the Rambam, it's a problematic. The Rabbit thinks, no, you have a whole long string. One, you have four long strings that you fold over, you make eight out of it. One long string, you use blue wool dyed blue, and the whole string, one string. Silt chelis, one string. And Rashi and Tosfos learn in the Gemara that it's two and two. The two white strings and two blue strings. Yeah, the only opinion that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch is that opinion, that it's two and two. The Mechaber quotes it, the Mishnah Berurah quotes it. Mishnah Berurah had, we have halachas that we have been observing for centuries based on the assumption, like Tosfos, that it's two and two. That it's not one out of four and it's not one out of eight. It's two long strings should be blue and two long strings should be white. And then on the assumption that it's two and two, so the Balo Itur lived in Marseille. You can't really say. He was the Tkufa of the Balei HaTosfos, and most of the Balei HaTosfos were in a different location. So the Beis Yosef quotes the Balei Itur, and the Magen Avraham quotes the Beis Yosef, and quotes the Balei Itur. If you have Tchelis and Lovan, you have two and two, half and half. So when it comes to the end, the last final knot, you should separate the blue, the four blue strings on one side and the four white strings on the other side. The Balait interprets that in the Gemara Menachem, so that's considered a Hira mitzvah. It's prettier like that. So it's not so difficult to do, not so problematic to do. There is an issue that some Rabbanim have raised with respect to Tcheles Bismanas. Even if you have ascertained what the Chalazin is, there is a Machlokes Rashi in the Rambam. What color blue is it supposed to be? Rashi says it's color of the sky at midnight. That the tchelis comes from the word tichlo, death, and it represents makas becheris. And the Rambam says that tchelis is the color of the sky in the afternoon, light blue. Soloveitchik once, he used to give a yahrzeit drasha every year on his father's yahrzeit on Gimel Shvat. So one year the shiur was, the yahrzeit drasha was on Hilchas Tzitzis. And he used to give a drasha for 4 hours. The first 2 hours would be halacha, next 2 hours would be agoda or drush. So he spoke about what is tchelis supposed to represent. It's supposed to represent din, or it's supposed to represent rachman. So he said, it has to do with this machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. According to Rashi, it's din. It represents makas b'chairis, midnight, the color of the sky, midnight. According to the Rambam, it represents the color in the sky in the afternoon. So that's when the sun is shining. So that's chesed and rachman. He spoke a little bit about that. Soloveitchik has in the same volume, I think, of collected drushes that Rabbi Abe Bezdin put out years ago. He has two volumes that he wrote over in English, drushes from Rav Soloveitchik. He wrote them very, very nicely. So he has a drusha that Rav Soloveitchik would say over every so often. That chelus and loven represent different things in life. The loven represents the things that are very clear. Dvar mechuvarim kesimla, it says in Chumash, ufarso hasimla le'eni haskenim, in the parasha of Moitzi Shemra. So Chazal say, what do you mean ufarso hasimla? Dvar mechuvarim kesimla. You should bring Edim to be mazim edi habal. The Avi Ha'isha brings Edim to be mazim edi habal. And the Rabbit a lot of times will be masing on the Ram, he'll say, lo mechuvar, it's not white. White represents things that are clear. Dvar mechuvarim kesimla, because in the days of Tanakh, most of the dresses were white. It was very expensive to have a colorful dress. Sometimes it was unusual, it was more expensive. But most of the dresses were plain white without any color. So that's why Farsa Hasimla has the connotation of Dvar mechuvarim kesimla, like a white dress, because most of the dresses were white. So the Lovan represents the things in life that are pretty clear. And Tchelis represents the things that we can't fathom. Tchelis dam the kisya kovid. What do we know about the kisya kovid? Nothing. So everyone should realize that everyone has to have a Rebbe. Korach was rebelling against Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, we don't need a posek. Kol ha'edut kulam kedoshim. Everybody was present in the Harsina. Everybody can paskan on his own. It's each man's own religion. Everybody can decide on his own what the din is. So that's why he wanted to throw out the mitzvah of Tchelis. Tchelis represents the things that we can't fathom because we can't understand. He held that everything is lovin. You can understand everything. And the Rebbe Shlomo wants everybody to realize, everybody should realize that there's Tchelis, there are things that you don't understand. Everybody needs a Rebbe. Then Rav Soloveitchik said, even if your Rebbe already passed away, you should always think in your mind, what would your Rebbe have said? How would your Rebbe have paskan in this case? Every so often, years ago, when Rav Soloveitchik used to give shir, so he'd always used to go, his mother used to live across the street from the yeshiva. So he would always go visit his mother. His mother outlived her father by many years, 30, 40 years or something. His father died very young. So sometimes they would be carrying on a conversation. People would be asking him a shayla, and he would say what he thinks the din is. His mother would butt in. She would say in Yiddish, your father would not have paskan like that. So he would reverse his chuck. She would tell him, your father wouldn't paskan like that. That was it. You can't paskan like that. Yeah, so that's Rav Soloveitchik. That was one of his, he gave that drasha every couple of years. He would speak about Tchelis and Lavan. Tchelis represents the things in life that we cannot understand, things in halacha that we don't necessarily understand. Rabbi Kiveger on Orach Chaim and Hilchos Tzitzis quotes the Panim Yofes. Panim Yofes is a pilpul sefer chumash by the author of the Hafloah. The Chassam Sofer refers to it as the Hafloah ala Torah. The Chassam Sofer was brought up in Frankfurt. The Hafloah was the rabbi in Frankfurt. The two gedolim that he looked up to were the Hafloah, he was a Levi, and Rav Nathan Adler was a Kohen. And he said, he writes in his Shuvos, the whole community would watch the way on Yontif, when they were duchen, the Hafloah would wash Rav Nathan Adler's hands. Because in Frankfurt, the minig is, in Breuers, that's the minig from Frankfurt, the Levim washed the Kohen's hands next to the Chazan, all the way up in front of the shul. So everybody would watch. So these were the two gedolim that he was in, the Chassam Sofer was influenced by, both the Hafloah and Rav Nathan Adler. So Rabbi Kiveger quotes the Panim Yofes on the pasuk that Bel Mene Yisrael v'amarta lehem asula hem tzitzis. So there's a machlokes in Rishonim, but the tying on the chutim on the beggar has to be done lishma. If a nochri ties it on, the Gemara says it's no good. That Bel Mene Yisrael v'asula lehem tzitzis. Bnei Yisrael v'asula hem tzitzis v'lo hum asylum. If a nochri ties on the chutim tzitzis on the beggar, it's not kosher. So some Rishonim say if a nochri ties on, it's no good. But if a Jew ties it on, even shalom lishma, it would be good. Otherwise, why didn't Gemara say a nochri? Should have said, but if it's tied on shalom lishma, it's no good. A nochri never cannot do lishma. And so that's a machlokes Rishonim. Do you require lishma? So a child before bar mitzvah, al pidin is a lab bar das, so he can't do lishma. So that's a machlokes, where the child before bar mitzvah can tie tzitzis on a beggar. My grandfather used to be the shamus in a young Israel in the Bronx. So he taught me how to tie tzitzis. So whenever they needed it, they didn't tell the rabbi. I used to tie the tzitzit way before my bar mitzvah. I used to tie the tzitzit on the shul talesin. My grandfather knew kitzit shulchan aruch, but apparently the kitzit doesn't say anything about this, whether cotton can dye tzitzit or not. So according to some rishonim that you need, Taisus hold you have to tie the tzitzis l'shman, the cotton can't do it. So they come up with the rabbinic times chiddush that a woman cannot tie tzitzis either. Since a woman is not mechuyev in tzitzis, whoever is zayin b'toris cannot create l'shma. Whoever is zayin b'toris any given din. The Gemara says a nochri zayin b'toris getting mikdushin, so therefore a nochri cannot write a get l'shma. Whoever is zayin b'toris cannot create l'shma. That's Rab Chaim quotes in the name of Rab Simcha Zelig. Simcha Zelig was the dayan in Brisk, and it says in the Rishonim say it like that the reason why matzah have to be shmura matzah has to be baked by a Jew, a nochri who bakes matzahs is no good. Because since the nochem are not mechuyev in the mitzvah tzitzis, whoever is zayin b'toris can't create. Nochem are not mechuyev in the mitzvah matzah, whoever is zayin b'toris cannot create b'shma. So the Rabbi Kevege quotes the Panim Yofes as a remez from the pasuk against the Rabbeinu Tam. Because it says, Dabel b'nei Yisrael v'amata aleim. Why does it say twice? Dabel b'nei Yisrael v'amata aleim. And why does it say, Daber dibur sounds a dibur loshen koshe, v'amata aleim sounds like a loshen raka, v'amata aleim. So he says, the Panim Yofes said, that's what he meant. Daber b'nei Yisrael, tell the men that they should speak to the men b'loshen kosher, and the men should speak to the women b'loshen raka. So daber b'nei Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu should tell the men b'nei Yisrael that they should tell their wives, Yomat Aleim, that the wife should tie the tzitzis on the beggar. So it's a raya from the pasuk that a woman may tie the tzitzis on the beggar against the Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, a remez on the pasuk. I remember many years ago when I was a teenager, so I used to speak a lot of times in my father's shul, just for 5 minutes, briefly before the Sedra, to say, oh, well, what's in the Sedra, what's in the Haftarah? So I remember it was the week of Parsha Shlach, and there was a big scandal in England that they found out that it was a Profumo scandal. Mr. Profumo had a high position in the British government, and he used to go to a certain prostitute. And when he was at the prostitute, he used to tell over all the secrets. And the Russians also sent a spy to go to the same prostitute to get all the secrets from the prostitute. So the Malbim writes like that on the Haftorah of Shlach. Why did he send the Meraglim to the home of Rochav Hazayna? Because the prostitutes know all the secrets. Because all the government officials, everybody goes to the same prostitute. So the Jewish spies went to Rochav Hazayna to find out all the secrets of the country. So I remember it was Punkt the week of Parsha Shlach that scandal was written up in a newspaper. Okay, everybody should have a good Shabbat and a good Chodesh. We bench Rosh Chodesh Tammuz this Shabbos, Monday and Tuesday. Very good.
A Rebbe Avram Ratner, could I ask you a question?
Sure.
There's some shuls that because of the coronavirus, the olet for Kriyas HaTorah, he makes the bracha, and then he walks away, and then Malkorah reads, but the olet can't see, you know, what they're reading. Is that proper?
In Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rosh. The Rosh thinks that it may be a bracha levatoleh if the oil of the Torah doesn't lay along softly. So l'chatchila we're machma like that, but me'ikar adin, we allow a summa to get an aliyah, even though the summa can't read at all. They quote that Binyamin Zev was a summa, and in Shulchan Aruch, they quote his tshuva. He dictated his tshuvas. They were written by a Talmud of his. So he dictated a tshuva that a summa may get an aliyah, that it's a chumrah. Me'ikar adin, we don't pass like the Rosh. So the question is, so if a summa gets an aliyah, what does he have to walk up to the Sefer Torah? Let him stand up in his own seat. He's in the fifth row, in the sixth row, in the shul, whatever. Let him just stand up. Let me say, no, out of covenant, at least he should walk over next to the Sefer Torah. So that's the question. Does it make sense? The guy's going to get an aliyah, he's going to say the brochas, and he's going to stand far away, not going to stand next to the Balkari. So some shuls are doing like that. Okay, in other shuls, they have the Balkari gets all. Balkari does the Hetzorah. He does Hagban Glilin, he does the Hachnas, and he does the Haftarah. One person gets all the seven aliyahs and shay, so that he won't be touching anybody else. I think that's a better idea, to have the Balkar get all the aliyahs.
Mm-hmm. Would Kriyas HaTorah be considered a Davar Shebikedusha or no?
Yeah, we assume it is a Davar Shebikedusha. That's the question. It is only a Davar Shebikedusha because of the Baruchas Hashem on Beirach, or even without the Baruch, maybe just Kriyas HaTorah itself is a Davar Shebikedusha. So that's the question. How do you define a Davar Shebikedusha? Soloveitchik and the Yotzei Drushes, every so often would work on a definition. I think at the end, the definition that he remained with was a possibility. Maybe it's a shevach of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that's neither in the form of a bracha nor in the form of a pasuk. Whatever is in the form of a bracha or a pasuk will not be a Davar Shebikedusha. That was his suggestion. So he thought on the Mzmiris and the Piyutim, he thought maybe all of these, the reason why we stand, when we say all the Piyutim are Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, he thought it's not because the Yom Kodesh is open and the Sefer Torah is there. Sefer Torah is in the Rishus Bifnei Atzmai. So why do you stand? So he thought because maybe the Piyut itself is a Davar Shebikedusha.
Mm-hmm, very good. So therefore, Ashliach, the Chazaros Hashas wouldn't be considered a Davar Shebikedusha, right? Because it's a bracha.
Right. Yeah, but you need a minyan because it's a tzibur. Chazaras Hashat is tfilas
tzibur. Not because of Davar Shebikedusha.
Right.
Okay, Shreif. Have a good
Shabbos. A good Shabbos, everyone.
Rebbe, can I ask you something?
Sure.
For the Ramah, why is there a difference between Challah versus Shmini Atzeres? That by Shmini Atzeres, he insists on the Lashon of Tanakh as opposed to Challah.
That's the Stira. That's a strong kashin, right? Very good question. The way the Be'er HaGra explained it, the Vilna Gaon explained that that's the issue, whether brachas have to be in Biblical Hebrew or in slang. So then it's a steer in the Ramon. Exactly. We're paying attention. Good.
Rabbi said that in the case where the Baal Kori should get all the aliyahs, should he make the brachas seven separate times?
Yeah, it says in Shulchan Aruch that if there's only one person who knows how to say the brachas, he gets all the seven aliyahs, and he says the brachas. Our brachas, Hashem Avayrach, Hashem Bachamana, Hashem Nasanam. He says all the brachas, yeah. It just says if he's hogging all the aliyahs, so it doesn't make sense we should make Maftir an eighth aliyah, make a Haisofah. Mikra Adin, we paskin there. Abin Atam, and Taisus says, Mikra Adin, we paskin the Maftir, Shvi is Maftir. But since there was one opinion in the Gemara that Maftir should be in addition to the seven aliyahs, so we satisfy that opinion also. So we make a Haisofah. But if one guy got all the seven aliyahs, then you're going to make a Haisofah. Eight aliyahs. But what are you making Haisofah? You make Haisofah to share the wealth. You have more people get aliyahs. But if one person got already all the seven, why shouldn't you make eight? So really, he should say Shvi, say the Bracha Shenasa Amano, do Hagben Glila, then he should say the Haftorah with the brachas, and after he says the brachas, then he says the Chatzi Kaddish. You only say Chatzi Kaddish if you finished the whole Kriyas HaTorah, and then you're going to lay in Maftir and then Haftorah. But if the Shvi is going to be the Maftir, then you shouldn't be Mafsik. The Magen Avraham says, you shouldn't be Mafsik. What do we do on a Tainus Tzibur? Tainus Tzibur, by Mincha, we give three aliyahs, and then Shlishi is Maftir. You don't say Chatzi Kaddish. You don't say Chatzi Kaddish in between the third aliyah and the Haftorah. Because the Gemara says the Loshon Agama Hamafta Benavitzach Shikur BaTorah Tchila. So Magen Avraham understands Tchila means immediately before. It shouldn't be mafsik in between the Kriyas HaTorah of the Maftir and the Haftorah. So you shouldn't have the Chatzi Kaddish should be postponed till after the Birchas HaTorah. Very good. Everyone should have a good Shabbos. Okay.
Good Shabbos.
Thank you. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos.
You want to bring something up? Okay, good.